another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley with you again here on the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. It's a beautiful Friday in the Easter season. Happy Easter, everyone. Great to be with you in this celebration of the resurrection and of new life that comes to us all through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I am looking out the windows here in our studio in Golden Valley, and I am seeing bright sunshine. I'm seeing trees that are starting to blossom and bud. We're seeing flowers push their way up and becoming, making the landscape beautiful. And it is a time of new life. And I rejoice with you in that. I hope this is in the middle of the Easter octave here and heading into Divine Mercy Sunday. I do hope that you're finding yourself just enwrapped with the beauty of new life that surrounds us now, and that that's taking place within you too. A special congratulations to those of you who were baptized or entered into full communion with the Church this Easter, knowing what that experience is like. I know many of our listeners do, as well as others here even in the studio. Know what that's like. So it is a very special time of the year. Those of you who are baptized, happy birthday to you. It's a wonderful thing to enter into the new life of Christ through the waters of baptism. And it's great to be back with you here on the Rediscover Hour as well, as we move out of our Lenten and Holy Week celebrations and into the celebration of new life. And we have a great show today. I'm excited about the show that we have lined up for us, because I was actually very unfamiliar with a process called Encuentro. Have you heard of this before? Is this something that you're familiar with? That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I have a little bit of history here for you that I can share. So on June 9th, 2013, this was out in San Diego, California, the USCCB, that's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, their Subcommittee on Hispanic Affairs, convened pastoral leaders of the Hispanic Latino community to engage again in the process of Encuentro. We're actually in the fifth Encuentro now, and the fifth Encuentro was convened in the context of the new evangelization and emphasized the importance of involving young second and third generation Hispanic Latinos in that process. And this is a fascinating thing that I think we need to be paying a lot of attention to. And if you, like me, are unfamiliar with Encuentro, we're going to take care of that this morning. We're going to lay it out for you, explain what it is, and how. And just so I can add an added note to stick with us, that how, even for those of you who are listening who may not be of Hispanic Latino descent, how this is an important movement for you as well, and how you can be involved with Encuentro here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, or wherever your travels may take you. Something that we need to be aware of, especially in our environments of in the new evangelization and that process. So we've got some great guests that are joining us today to speak specifically about that, and we'll be with them just after our first break. But again, as always, I think we want to take a moment and dedicate the show and the way that the Lord will speak to us through the show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We got lots of great stuff coming up about Encuentro, the fifth Encuentro. So stick with us, and we're going to learn all about it just on the other side of this break. Be right back.
Discover. I'm Steve Smith with Modern Roadways. We've fixed, replaced, and seal-coated driveways and parking lots for Relevant Radio listeners for years. Along with my dad, Ed, and our family crew, we continue to have our A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Our blacktop patching can save your driveway or parking lot. We do what's called skin patching. First, we clean the area and apply a tack coat so the new will hold to the old. Next, we patch over the present surface using its strength and durability. Skidden patching is one-third the cost of excavation patching, so we can cover 3 times as much area for the same cost, getting all present potholes as well as areas that will be potholes in the next few months. Now the rest of the story. We offer a $100 discount to Relevant Radio listeners who give us the go-ahead on repair projects of $1,000 or more. Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777.
Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord of all, we bow before thee.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. And today we are talking about Encuentro, and we're going to learn all about that. And joining me first here in studio as my first guest, Estela Villagran Manchero, who is the Director of Latino Ministry with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. She's also the President of the National Catholic Association of Diocesan Directors for Hispanic Ministry, and she's led pre-conference events for Latin American Catholics at the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia. So, Estela, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. So, Encuentro, and I have to be honest, at the outset, I was completely clueless. I didn't even know about the existence of Encuentro, but, you know, the more I've looked into it, the more it's just become fascinating to me. So, let's just start with the basics. What is Encuentro?
All right. So, Encuentro means to encounter.
Okay.
And the idea is that in our community, we do that a lot. You know, we just encounter each other, you know, go and have a coffee. But the idea here is an ecclesial one. So we encounter Christ. We all had an encounter with Christ. And then our missionary history started. So that is in all our cursillos and movement, ecclesial movements, We first start with that encounter with Christ.
Right.
So that's why we chose that word, because everything starts with that first encounter.
With that encounter. And I know that that's a word that Pope Francis especially really likes to emphasize, right? I mean, he talks a lot about encountering
Absolutely.
The person of Jesus Christ, right?
So it's
well fitting. All right. So how did it first get started? What's the history and background of Encuentro?
All right. So it was in 1972 when the Catholics, Latinos, Hispanic, you know, that's why we put both of them, because both names, because people identify with different names. But we were kind of anonymous in the Catholic Church here in the U.S.
Okay.
And we decided, the leadership decided, and by then one bishop that we had, Bishop Flores, to have this conversation at the base level, at the parish level, of the leaderships, you know, of the people at the pews. Mm. So, and it was a consultation. What do you need? What do you need from the church? What are your dreams? So after that process, and the very first Encuentro took only a process of 1 year, but what we requested as a people of God was, We want for you to notice us. We want for you to know that we are here, and we would like to have, you know, an office that will help us with, you know, an office in Spanish that will take care of the Hispanic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that was the result of the first Encuentro. That's when the Secretariat for Hispanic Affairs was formed in the USCCB. In Washington.
Wow.
So, of course, the idea of the Encuentro process goes all the way from the people at the pews to the diocesan level, to the regional level, and then, of course, to the national level with our bishops.
Right.
So the second Encuentro, so we thought, okay, they hear us, let's keep on going.
let's do it again.
Yes,
okay.
Let's do it again. Mm-hmm. So what do we need right now? The second Encuentro took place in 1975, and we did a little bit more extensive process. So definitely we engaged many more people. By this time, there were so many other parishes opening. And what we find out, the conclusions of that was we need formation. in Spanish. Mm. So our beautiful bishops responded to that, and they opened 8 different formation places around the country, which still 3 of them are already alive, and one of them is the Mexican-American. It used to be called Cultural Center, but right now, after so many years, it became a college. It's the very first Mexican-American Catholic college.
How
now.
About that? Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So of course, we had all our leaderships now was formed. You know, we had many leaders. Then we say, okay, so we need to get organized, and how are we going to work across the nation with the same vision? Mm-hmm. So we did the 3rd Encuentro, and that was in 85, from 82 to 85. It was a process of 3 years. And what we did here, we produced a pastoral plan nationally that was going to guide every single diocese in their own pastoral plan.
Right.
So, and that's actually what we use in this diocese still, because we adapted it to our reality here in Minnesota. But every single diocese around the country adopted the same plan. And, of course, we had so many openings of Hispanic ministries offices at the diocesan level. That was a great conclusion and answer from our bishops.
Sure. Okay. So that was the 3rd one, you said.
That was the 3rd one.
Okay.
And the 4th one, by the 4th one, the bishops, told us, okay, so you have this down now. We are going to ask you to invite the whole church into this process.
Mm.
So what we did is we took leadership in that, and we kind of put our process aside a little bit, but it was very important to recognize every single culture, every single race and movement that was within the Catholic Church.
Mm.
So we call that Encuentro 2000.
Yeah.
And so we had this huge celebration. And I know that Deacon Ramon later on
is going to talk a little bit
about that, because he was part of that.
Right. Wonderful.
And that was a superb celebration with all the cultures, every single culture invited into the church, reconciling with the church. Mm-hmm. And of course, after each one of the encuentros, we produce a document. Mm-hmm. So the document we produced after that was Many Faces in God's Church.
Okay, very good.
And all those documents are available at the UCCV website.
Okay.
Now, then we had the very first encuentro for the pastoral youth. And that was in 2006, where actually we really wanted to hear from the youth, you know, the first, we call it 1.5 generation, because they were brought here when they were young, mm-hmm. but they grew up here. Mm-hmm. So those, and then the second generation of youth too, our children, mm-hmm. children of immigrants.
Right.
So we wanted to hear from them. What were their needs? You know, how do we accompany them better?
Right, right. And so that brings us up to the 5th Encuentro, which this started back in 2013. That was when the 5th Encuentro was kind of launched. Is that right?
That's right. Okay. It was launched, of course. You know, the bishops were the ones that are convoking this Encuentro.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did it over there in California.
Yeah.
And we've been actually working on it, on preparing the leadership for it since then.
Okay.
So it is a 4th-year process. We've been preparing leadership for the last 2 years, and right now is at our parish level.
Okay.
So we are extremely excited that our parishes are being brought in and being a part of this walk.
Right, right. And we're going to talk actually next with Father Kevin Kenny as well, who is seeing some effects of Encuentro there in his parish as well. So we'll get to that in a moment. But just a little bit to put a little bit more flesh on the bones here. So mm-hmm. I've noticed in researching the website, which is just V Encuentro. Is it? Is that right? Is that the website?
Yes. V for, you know, the
for
Roman number.
Yeah,
for
the
fifth,
Roman numeral five.
Encuentro.org.
.org. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, please feel free, listeners, to go to vencuentro.org and research this. But I noticed that one of the things that they're talking about is that it's not, you don't refer to Encuentro as a program.
Exactly.
But it's a process.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's a process, which fits very well with the whole idea of encounter, right? When I encounter another person, it's not a programmatic encounter. It's a process of building a relationship, of moving deeper and deeper into friendship. And so I like the description of that. But how could I expect to see it lived out, this process, this Encuentro process, in if I'm a typical, well, I guess I somewhat am, a typical white, United States, I go to the my parish, and which is largely white, I might see some other nationalities, some other cultures there, some Hispanic, Latinos, that sort of thing there, in there. But how can I expect to see Encuentro in my parish? What does it look like?
All right. So we do have 23 parishes where we have a Spanish-speaking community.
Okay,
23. And actually, two of those parishes are doing it also in English, because absolutely all the material is in English.
Right.
It's bilingual, of course, English and Spanish. And we do have two parishes, the parish in Hopkins, San Gabriel Archangel, and San Henry's in Monticello. Mm. And they are doing it they're doing small communities, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. We, in English and Spanish, what they're doing, we are, you know, we're praying together, and then we are separating by languages, and then after we come back together again and pray and share food, because we always have to celebrate, you know, and share food.
I'm there. Excellent. So if there's food involved, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
But the theme of the Encuentro is missionary disciples.
Right.
And that's what we are trying to invite the community to be.
Right.
What Pope Francis is asking us. And we did base the whole five sessions in Evangelii Gaudium, number 24, where he's inviting us to primeriar, you know, to be the first out, the first one that encounters the other one, the first one that smiles to the other person.
Right.
So I see that the English community hopefully will see that change, and that the Latinos are taking the first step and truly are going to go and primeriarlos, you know,
right.
And they're going to go and encounter them in an effort to do that.
I think that's a great point to emphasize, that it's not just about individuals in that are already in the church, in the parish, that are encountering the Lord, which of course we all need to do on a regular basis, on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. But it's facilitating that encounter, especially, as you said, with this missionary disciples call, with the call of the new evangelization, mm-hmm. that it's an evangelistic effort as well to help others encounter Christ through you. Is that right? Through us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. We are asked to be the face of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what this, you know, we need to be conscious about. That's what, you know, the Pope is asking us to do. That's what Jesus asked us to do, you know, to go and tell the good news and share that joy of being disciples and missionaries.
No question. Right. Now, I did want to hit upon. You were telling a little bit of a story, or at least you hinted at it, but I want to hear more about you had a trip to the Vatican that was involved in this. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So because of my work nationally, and also I'm the advisory for Hispanic Affairs subcommittee of the USCCB, I was blessed to be a part of the delegation that went to the Vatican and present this to Pope Francis last September. So it was an absolutely amazing trip. We stay in Santa Marta with him, having lunch and dinner with him, and it was just real.
As you do.
Oh my gosh! Yes, it was pretty unreal. Praying in his chapel every morning and night. Absolutely amazing. You know, staying in the rooms where all the cardinals are staying,
wow.
and yeah, it was an unbelievable trip. He was absolutely thrilled to see our initiative.
Great.
We visited all the departments, the evangelization, Church of Latin America. We visited with all the cardinals and presented the initiative to them.
Right.
You know, like Pope asked us to do. And so we are connected with all of them. They're, you know, eager to hear our stories, what the conclusions are going to be. And then we actually asked the Pope if he could, of course, he blessed our cross, mm-hmm. you know, for the fifth encuentro. And then we asked him if he could do a video for the bishops here in the United States.
Really?
And yeah, and that was the surprise of the last meeting in November in Baltimore. The bishops heard the video, and actually we were all, you know, tuning in too, because we didn't know what the video say, but he did it all in English, and actually it is in the website, because it was a superb effort from him to do it all in English.
Sure.
But he did a video, and he invited all the bishops to be part of this encuentro.
Wow.
So from that call and video from him, then we had so many more diocese, you know, partnering and sharing the process.
Right. It never hurts when the successor of Peter lends his support to something, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If it helps when you're in the parish, it always helps with the parish priest to stand up and say, "Hey, you know, I'm behind this," that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, when you're doing something on a worldwide scale, it's always helpful
to have the boss.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yes.
Well, Estella, I know you're going to stick around with us for a moment, because we're going to engage you in some of the other conversations as well. So I won't say goodbye to you yet, but this has been fascinating beginning to helping us understanding Encuentro. So I will say thank you for what you've shared thus far.
Right.
And we are going to take our next break, and we're going to be back with Deacon Ramon Garcia. No, excuse me, Deacon Ramon. We'll be back with you later, but Father Kevin Kenny will come up next. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Jesus said, "Let the little ones come to me." Receiving Jesus in the sacrament of Holy Communion for the first time is an important and wondrous occasion. At Holy Cross Books and Gifts, you can shop from a wide assortment of First Communion items for that special boy or girl. Not only are there attractive communion dresses, veils, ties, and jewelry for their important day, but also an extensive selection of First Communion gifts. Discover good quality at attractive prices. This is Kathy, and my husband Irv and I would like to invite you to visit the store to find great items that will make any child's first Holy Communion a treasured and memorable event. Grow in faith, share a blessing. Holy Cross Books and Gifts is on the border of Apple Valley and Lakeville at Cedar Avenue and 160th Street. Call 952-953-6330 or visit us on the web, holycrossbooks.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. We are talking today about Encuentro, a process that engages those of Hispanic and Latino descent, Hispanic Latino community here in the church, across the nation, and here in our Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And we turn next to our next guest, Father Kevin Kenny, who was ordained a diocesan priest here in the Archdiocese in 1994. He is the pastor of Divine Mercy Catholic Church down in Faribault. And he is also the vicar for Latino ministry to help the Archdiocese continue to grow and help us expand in our ministry to the Latinos throughout the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Father Kenny, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Well, I'm grateful for all your pastoral work that you've done, but help us to understand a little bit more, as you are the vicar for Latino ministry. What exactly is a vicar?
Well, vicar is the eyes and ears of the archbishop are out amidst the community, where the archbishop cannot be all the time. We vicars, there's regional vicars, and then being Latino vicar is investigating and working with the Latino communities throughout the archdiocese and bringing back to the archbishop ideas and issues and you know, what is happening to keep him informed and up to date with how the Latino community continues to grow in the Archdiocese.
Wonderful. So you are acting, I guess it makes sense, vicariously, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Exactly. How about that? Language coming through again. So does that take you, do you do a fair bit of traveling from parish to parish then to understand what's going on with Latinos here in our archdiocese?
I have over my term as vicar. And, mm-hmm. you know, when we were doing the regional visits within the parishes, whatever parish had Latino ministry, I would go along with the regional vicar to visit. But then again, we have tried to have monthly meetings with the leaders of the parishes who have Latino ministry and collect information from them, give them ideas, and, you know, inform them of what is happening within the archdiocese. And it gives us an idea of what's happening in the parishes as well.
Sure. Yeah, I would imagine so. So, as you know, we've been talking about Encuentro specifically and the fifth Encuentro that we're in now. Estella has given us some great background to what Encuentro actually is, how it functions as a process and that sort of thing. But what, from your perspective, particularly as a diocesan priest father, I wanted to ask you, what has been your experience with Encuentro?
Well, even before I was ordained back in 1983, I became a clerician lay volunteer. I was working in Chicago on the south side. And that's when the third Encuentro was underway. And so in the youth work that we were doing at the parish at Holy Cross, Immaculate Heart on the south side,
okay.
I was involved in the process of getting the youth in the parish on a local basis, again, geared up for the third Encuentro. And so it was, you know, small groups meeting within the parish and then within the Archdiocese of Chicago, and it was great to meet other leaders and many of the other youth of Chicago as well that was involved. And out of that Encuentro came the National Pastoral Plan mm-hmm. in 1987. And so when I was in seminary, it was great because I graduated from CTU, Catholic Theological Union, in Chicago with my MDiv in World Mission Concentration, and used actually that pastoral plan in some of the courses that I was taking in the work that I was doing. So it was wonderful to see the effects of what we had done locally become part of a national plan that was underway. And so I see it now even with the fifth Encuentro of listening to the voice of, you know, the Latinos within the church in the United States. And the importance of it is to involve the people.
Right.
And that they're feeling involved, they're going out and evangelizing and then bringing people back. And the challenge as a priest, as a diocesan priest now, mm-hmm. is what are we welcoming them back to?
Mm.
And so to be aware of, as we're sending folks out to the laundromats, to the grocery stores, to street corners, inviting them to come and see Jesus within the Catholic Church, you know, is Jesus there? And of course he is, but how are we providing vibrant, alive, you know, liturgies,
right.
worship programs? And are we able to help these folks too? Because a lot of them come with issues and challenges in life, and are we ready to deal with that? So that's the challenge I see as a diocesan priest. It's a wonderful process, and how do we as priests then prepare ourselves to welcome these new folks back?
Right, and I appreciate that, especially knowing that there are, I mean, we all come with our issues, as
Correct.
You said, and as we are coming in to encounter the church in the parish, of course, we're encountering humanity, right? Mm-hmm. Here comes everybody, is
right.
the saying goes. So we don't always know exactly what's in store for us as we're walking into the doors of a church. Maybe it's been a long time, maybe it's been never mm-hmm. that we've come to a church before, and now we're being invited into this space. I do like the idea, though, specifically around Encuentro and looking to the Hispanic and Latino populations, that there is at least, there should be, I hope, some sort of familiarity there culturally. That's one of the things I think in some of the work that I've done with within the ethnic diversity, within the national diversity of ministry, that to invite people in that. We need to pay attention to that. It's not just like, yeah, come in and just join us, be one of us, because there are some things that we're maybe not even aware of that come from our own ethnic traditions, that sort of thing. And when you're the majority population, I know that sometimes we tend to overlook those things.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a good thing. So, in your estimation, Father, and I realize I'm calling on your role as the vicar here, but in what ways would you say that you're excited to see the next step as far as Encuentro goes here in this archdiocese? I mean, what are some of the ways that you really see it enhancing our life as an archdiocese?
Well, I hope that the Church of the Archdiocese will see this, and some of the parishes are involving all of the people in this process, not just the Latino community. I wish we had the resources to be able to do that in every parish.
Mm-hmm.
But the voice, the visibility that we are a multicultural, multinational church here in the Archdiocese, and for the people to see that and to understand it and to love it and to see that in this diversity that we have in the Archdiocese, it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and to be able to celebrate together the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the presence of Jesus in our lives, and the call that we all have as a missionary church to be missionary disciples going out into the world, as we hear so often in the scriptures during this Easter season, to be witnesses of, you know, our faith, our belief. And so I'm hoping it'll be a sort of revival for the Archdiocese after we've been through, you know, a period of a bit of darkness.
Yeah, it's been a tough time.
You know, but to be able to say, hey, we are a church that's alive, a church that loves Jesus, and a church that's evangelizing, and we're hoping, you know, that you'll come and give us a try again, or for the first time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. So with that, mentioning, and Estella had said that as well, that there's some parishes who are involving the entire parish community, not just the Hispanic Latino portion of the parish. What would you say to those of us who may be encountering Encuentro for the first time, but want to be more involved? What is the challenge before us, specifically as those who are of European heritage, you know, white heritage? In terms of engaging with Encuentro, what's the challenge there for us?
The challenge is to take the first step through the door of Encuentro. You know, a lot of us from the European descent look up from the outside in and say, well, why is this happening? Why, you know, perhaps why are we spending all this money? What kind of resources are going into that where it could be used differently? Why is it for them and not for us?
Mm.
But it's again a grassroots type of process that is swelling up within the church in the United States, and the bishops have really taken hold. And as Stella was saying, that, you know, Pope Francis has really put his support behind this.
Right.
But it's for us to take that first step, and whether we feel comfortable in a language that's not our own,
mm-hmm.
but even just to be present with the people and to walk with them and not just stand on the outside and look within, but to get in the middle of the circle, get in the middle of the group, and find that courage to do so. And the wonderful thing about this process is it's in English and Spanish,
mm-hmm.
and so it's not just being exclusive of one group, it's involving everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just taking that first step to walk with our brothers and sisters in this process and being open, you know, to where the Holy Spirit can lead us all.
Amen. That seems like a good encouragement each and every day.
Right.
Walk with the Holy Spirit and see where he leads.
Yes.
It's always an adventuresome ride. So I should ask you in a language, comfortable in a language that's not your own. So, ¿se habla español? Well, how about this then, Father? Before we say goodbye to you, could you offer a blessing for our honored listeners in Espanol, por favor?
Oh, sí. Que Dios Todopoderoso, durante este tiempo de Pascua, celebrando la resurrección de su Hijo Jesucristo, envíe su Espíritu Santo sobre todo de nosotros para seguir caminando en nuestra fe, en amor de Dios y la bendición de Jesucristo en nuestra vida, para ser testigos en el mundo de hoy del temor que tenemos en Jesucristo. La bendición de Dios Todopoderoso, el Padre, Hijo, Espíritu Santo, desciende sobre todos. Amén.
Amen. Father Kevin Kenny, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour this morning. May God bless you and all the work that you do.
Thank you, and you're welcome. Thanks for inviting me to be part of this as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Father. So we are going to take our final break here before we do come back with Deacon Ramon Garcia, who's going to tell us a little bit more about how Encuentro is living out on the ground here in the Archdiocese. So stay with us. Rediscover.
Speaking on behalf of the Pacer Center's annual event to raise funds to aid children with disabilities and Pacer Center's National Bullying Prevention Center is Minnesota Twins great Dan Gladden and the president of Coordinated Business Systems, Jim Arricchio.
Well, Dan, grease up your funny bone. Get your laughing shoes on for this year's Pacer Center event, Saturday, May 13th at the Minneapolis Convention Center.
That's right, Jim. This year's entertainment headliner is the legendary late-night talk show host, Emmy Award-winning comedian Jay Leno.
Jay Leno, funny guy. To purchase tickets, be an event sponsor, or donate to the silent auction, call 952-838-9000.
Yeah, Jim, Jay Leno, a great auction and a great time for everyone.
And a great way to help support the Pacer Center's National Bullying Prevention Center and to help children with disabilities and their families.
Call the Pacer Center, 952-838-9000, 952-838-9000, and we'll see you at the Minneapolis Convention Center Saturday, May 13th.
Welcome back to this Easter edition of the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again as we're speaking today about Encuentro. And joining us now in studio is Deacon Ramon Garcia, who is the Hispanic Ministry Coordinator at St. Stephen's in Anoka. And prior to his assignment at St. Stephen's, Ramon was a consultant for Hispanic ministry for the entire Archdiocese. He's worked extensively on family retreats, marriage encounter, natural family planning, domestic violence support groups. And as they observe, if people observe Ramon's faith, dedication, and talent, a number suggested that he become a permanent deacon, and that's exactly what he's done. He heard the God's call through them, took the classes from 2004 to 2008, and he was ordained to the permanent diaconate on September 27, 2008, and then assigned to St. Stephen's in Anoka. So, Deacon Ramon, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Yeah, wonderful. So, as we're speaking about Encuentro now, you were involved with Encuentro 2000. Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that specifically and what your experience was like as part of that process.
Yes, it was a great, great opportunity. It's a blessing for me in my life. I think it was a great opportunity for the church in the United States together to engage in profound conversation about the life and faith, to worship together, to learn from each other in forgiveness and another to be reconciled to knowledge and our unique histories and discover and the ways we can be like a Catholic communities. For me, it was in that time, 1997, I was involved early in the Catholic Church, but I saw, for my experience, come from Mexico, a tremendous reality here, both church from Mexico and here. So it was a challenge for me. But participating in this encounter, I find very grateful, blessing, and tools. For example, one of my experience was we heard that many people in the Catholic Church, we honoring the celebrating the ethnic and cultural difference into the realize the Catholic unity is a gift from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So there, in this encounter, was a something that touched my heart because every celebration, especially for Mass, was celebrating in many different languages. For example, people from Hawaii, the costume, the dancing with everything, and Vietnamese and other languages. And I saw how God's creation gave us the gifts of the diversity and how we can be together only by the Holy Spirit, this celebration. And it's amazing how we've been together there. The other thing is how Jesus called us to create a more just and peaceful world to honor and advocate the dignity of the every person. In that time, I saw in the same encounter how people was vulnerable, people with disabilities, blind people, and wheelchairs and others, and they share the stories how feel sometimes separate and segregated for the church, or sometimes they don't feel that fit in the church. But when they tell their stories, everybody, we recognize how we can do, what we can do for them.
Yeah.
And it's especially something, I think, for the whole reality and every time. And it was tremendous. And invite us to ask how strengthen the commitment to solidarity and social justice in favor of the most vulnerable people among us.
Yeah.
And the other point was be hospitable. Mm. For the Vietnamese people, Hawaiian people, Afro-American people, Hispanic people, and how they choose, they can open their church, the doors, for everybody feel welcome and feel that I can fit this in this community.
Yeah.
And it's some tool that I developed in my life, spiritual life, because I've been already involved in the St. Stephen Church in Minneapolis, and give me the tools how we can now, after the encounter, work together with the other community, with the English-speaking community.
Yeah.
The other part is the unique history of the Catholic community, find common identity and God's history of the salvation. It's the, we hear every story for the African-American community, how they arrived to the United States, and other culture, Polish people, Hispanic people, mm. And all immigrant people, we have their own story, but we have the story of salvation too.
Amen.
And how the Holy Spirit bring it together and pray together and be in front of God someday in the heaven with many faces, many colors of people, but together in the heaven, in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking was that as you were talking about all these things and seeing the reaching out to all these different cultures and recognizing the dignity that God has given to each of them individually, but also as cultures, as ethnic groups, that sort of thing. I mean, this is almost, we are in the Easter season now, mm-hmm. but this is almost a precursor to Pentecost, which is coming, right? Where, you know, it's kind of the turning Babylon on its head, the Tower of Babel on its head. And people are starting to be reconciled, even though there are these differences with culture, ethnicity, language, et cetera. Now, you were talking about the ministry of evangelization and that sort of thing. And I recognize that you have some stories, because some in your community, these missionary disciples that Estella introduced us to, you went to trailer homes to knock on doors, and you saw the Holy Spirit at work.
Yes.
All right. Tell us some stories. What happened there?
Yes, I think everybody will receive the sacrament of the confirmation, and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. And this quinto encuentro that I've been working with the Spanish community, we start to knocking doors, and we have a tremendous experience. One time we arrive at home of the family, and just they receive a small card for invitation to spend time and come to their church and participate in activities like Holy Week.
Mm-hmm.
I hear later, a week later, dad and mom, they say, I received this in my home. But when I saw this, I told my wife, this is a Protestant church, because the Catholic Church, they never come to visit us. And the wife, she mentions, she say, you know, here is the Virgin of Guadalupe. Has to be Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And they check the name and address and everything, and they come. They come to their church. And they say, God talked to us because we've been for struggles with my kids. And one of my kids' friends, he suicided in the school, and we don't know what we can do. And their answer is, come to Jesus.
Mm.
It was a wonderful, powerful story for me. And the other thing is a man, 35 years old, he been not practiced their faith for 20 years almost. And her wife, she came to the church looking for help, something about the kids' confirmation and catechesis. And she mentioned, I have struggled with my husband. And I told her, invite him. I wanted to talk to him.
Mm.
He came. And he started now participating in every session of the Quinto Encuentro, and he's on fire.
Hmm.
And we have every session, after the session, we need to go and knock the doors,
mm-hmm.
inviting people. And he's been doing on fire. He go to the laundry, he go to the store, he go Target and Walmart, inviting people. And he say, I find people because I feel that when I hear God has called me, invited to come, I want to do the same. Because somebody called me to me, and I want to be the person that invited the others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing for this person. It's a tremendous testimony. And he's doing all the time. And yesterday he told me, I need more flyers. I need more flyers. And for me, it's how this person, after 20 years without practice the faith, in this session he recognized what is the role of the Catholic Church.
Right.
Be outside, like Pope Francis tells us, be the first.
Right.
Primerear with this person.
Right.
So it's a wonderful story with every person. Sometimes we recognize people that they don't are open to hear us.
Mm.
But for us, it's the same thing that Jesus happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people, they with open heart and listen, and sometimes they are busy
mm-hmm.
in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's probably true across the board. And one of the things that it just draws to mind for me, again, in my other hat is working at the Cathedral of St. Paul, and we're just moving into, I like to call it shun season. So we have graduations and an ordination and confirmations. So we have a lot of things going on. But specifically with that confirmation, you mentioned, Deacon, the sacrament of confirmation and how we are empowered then by the Holy Spirit to go out. And I'm looking at these young people, and I know some of them are getting it. Some of them are stepping forward, and they're getting confirmed, and they're right in sync. They're wanting to do the will of the Holy Spirit. And let's be honest, some of them, it doesn't appear that way.
Mm-hmm.
But after 20 years, this man, you know, he was 20 years away from the church, you said, and then somebody came and just offered him an invitation, and
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
grabbed that opportunity, right? And he responded. He responded in faith, and now he's living out his confirmation call, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
that's a beautiful story for this confirmation, this Easter season, this confirmation season as well, that we can never give up on the Holy Spirit because he never gives up on us.
Yes. And sometimes people, they are looking for our leaders. They mm-hmm. leading them. For example, when I go there, people, I invited them. Could you come with us and we're going to knock doors? And
mm-hmm.
they come. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes they feel I'm nervous, I don't know what I'd say and everything. But in the time we are outside walking on the street,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago we went and I found a old lady with the leg very swollen.
Mm-hmm.
And just I started talking with her. And I made all the time the question, can I pray with you? And she said, please.
Yeah.
So we were three people, two younger people, and just approach to her, just in the door, and pray with her. And it was a powerful for these young people to see what we can do.
Yeah.
And the suffering is there. She started to cry something. But in the end, she take our hands mm-hmm. and don't want to leave us.
Right.
And this is good news, I think, for her.
Amen.
And for us, I said to bring Jesus, but I found Jesus there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With this person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that happens so often.
Yeah.
When we go out with the mentality that we're bringing Jesus into the situation, then, oh, surprise, he's already there.
Stand.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Deacon Ramon, thank you for that. Estella wanted to come back to you after these great testimonies that Deacon Ramon has just given us about how Encuentro is already, the Holy Spirit is using it to draw people together. And I know we wanted to do some closing comments from you, especially if people are interested in knowing more and how they might actually start to begin the Encuentro process in their parish. So back to you.
All right. Absolutely. So the process is the spirituality is a spirituality of Emmaus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an Easter story.
Yes.
They are all very much right now is the season to get to jump into this session. There are five sessions. Everybody is welcome. Every material and we have all the PowerPoints, videos, songs, everything is bilingual.
Mm.
So just I invite the parishes to, you know, join us.
Yeah.
And then definitely everybody that went through the process, we will have a diocesan celebration on August 12th.
August 12th,
and,
okay.
And they can be a part of it and help us to set the priorities that we will move us on in this diocese.
Right, yeah. And I know that we mentioned before the national website, and that's V for the Roman numeral 5, so vencuentro.org. Yeah. Right. Correct. But are there any resources here in the Archdiocese that people can access here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis?
Yes, absolutely. We have in our website, we have all the material, the extra material that we printed and that we created, you know, just to be really to give the people more material for it. And I wanted to mention that our own Bishop Cousins, he is the chair of our region.
Sure.
So he is our head for the region, for the Encuentro of our Episcopal region of Minnesota and the Dakotas.
Okay, so if we have Pope Francis himself behind it, and if we have Bishop Cousins behind it, then
that's
it must be legit, right?
It must be legit, yeah.
Very good. And so, again, you said on our website, is that the Archdiocesan website that they should go?
Yes, Archdiocese website, and then the Catholic Priest just had a fabulous article on it, too, and then we will show you to the Latino page, Latino office,
very
Office
good.
Of Latino Ministry page.
Very good. And that Archdiocesan website is ArchSPM for St. Paul and Minneapolis, archspm.org. And Encuentro, just in case you're wondering how to spell Encuentro, just so I can have, because I, you know, I'm a typical American, monolingual and everything. But Encuentro is E-N-C-U-E-N-T-R-O, Encuentro. Estella, thank you so much for joining us. Deacon
Ramon,
thank you for being here on the program and introducing us to this process of Encuentro. I look forward to seeing how the Holy Spirit continues to use it in our backyard.
Me too. Yeah. Call us if you need us.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you. We're going to actually turn the page now into some other coming up Archdiocesan events, and Paul Sadek joins me once again.
Tons of them. Be part of the new evangelization in our Archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message proclaiming to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
The CNA Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture invites you to hear Sister Sarah Butler speak on the Catholic priesthood as sacramental reality, women's ordination, and ecumenical perspective. This event is free and open to the public and begins at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, April 26th. In the Owen Science Building of the University of St. Thomas campus. For more information, including event parking, very important, please visit stthomas.edu/Siena Symposium.
Alpha Women's Center invites you to their ICU Mobile Spring Banquet to support their pro-life pregnancy clinic Thursday, April 27th at 6 p.m. Banquet will be held at Ridges at Sand Creek in Jordan, Minnesota. Tickets are $35 each or $250 for a table of eight. Contact Ann Fredrickson at icumobileetc.edu@gmail.com or call 651-894-2882 for tickets or information.
All Catholics seeking a deeper understanding of their faith are invited to the annual Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute Informational Open House at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton on Tuesday, May 2nd from 6 to 7 p.m. Presentations on this life-changing formation program will be made by Jeff Cavins and Kelly Walquist from the Catechetical Institute. A question and answer session will follow, and applications and promotional materials will be available. For additional information, visit www.cistudent.com.
Daughter of Syrian refugee and Catholic author, speaker, songwriter, and musician Audrey Assad will perform at a concert benefit for the Water for Life Project Sunday, May 7th, 2 p.m. at the historic Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul. Partners for Hope Tanzania presents Concert for Hope. This is an opportunity to receive the gift that is her music, focusing your thoughts, mind, and your heart on what truly matters most. For more information, visit partnersforhopetanzania.org. Click on News.
On Wednesday, May 10th, the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis invites you to the Regional Grandparents Meeting being held at St. Pius X in White Bear Lake. Hear from Mary Peterson, Director of Adult Faith Formation for the Archdiocese of Dubuque. She will present on Passing on the Faith, Naming Grace in the Domestic Church. All are welcome to the regular parish mass at 6:30 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. rosary. The presentation will begin at 7:30. Light refreshments will be served and a free will offering accepted. Please register online by going to rediscover-faith.org and clicking on events.
Abria invites you to join 1,000 plus supporters 9 a.m. Saturday morning of Mother's Day weekend, May 13th, at the Upper Landing Park in St. Paul for one of the biggest pro-life family events in the Twin Cities, the Life is Wonderful Family Fun Run, Walk, and 5K. Register as an individual or create or join a team of up to 10 to walk, run, or race to celebrate the dignity of life and motherhood. For more information and to register, visit supporters.abria.org.
All right.
And what's up next week?
Yeah, next week. Well, you know what, Paul? I just wanted to take a moment to say that.
Take a moment.
Happy Easter to you, first
Thank
of
you.
All.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It's great to.
And to you, too.
I know. It's great to be together in this celebratory
season. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. Alleluia. Amen.
Yes,
alleluia.
Absolutely. So, you know, but I'm thinking about these folks that I know, like you and I have both gone through RCIA. We're now full Catholics. And they're
wondering, welcome home.
Exactly. Welcome home. and they're thinking, what's up next, right? Well,
yeah.
I think next week is the show that they need to tune into because we're going to hear from Archbishop Hebda about the upcoming Archdiocesan School of Prayer. How about learning how to pray?
That'd be a good thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which will run through the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. This is a new initiative, and it's going to be a 2-year course with weekly presentations by people like Bishop Cousins, right, and other pastors in our archdiocese. If the church's mission is to foster disciples and commission them to evangelize others like we've just been talking about today, by bringing the love of Jesus to our family and community, then we have to first start with prayer.
Amen.
Amen to that. Yeah, absolutely. Folks, thanks for tuning in to the Rediscover Hour today. We'll hear from you next week. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.